remember that God answers prayer. God still hears his children when they cry out. We had a special request this morning. I'm going to give you a name of a couple of people just to lift up to the Lord. Church, would you pray for Joe and Levi? God knows their needs. God knows exactly what they stand in need of. But Joe and Levi need the Lord to touch them in a special way in their life. I want to ask you something. I'm not going to ask you to give me names, but how many people here, either you or somebody you know, needs God to touch them in a special way? Anybody? Amen. You're praying for somebody? Anybody on your heart or mind this morning? I want you to know that God still hears and answers prayer. Amen. If you got your Bible this morning, some things I want to share with you. This is what's on my heart for Memorial Day. It's some things that we need to remember. Memorial Day is about remembering. It's about remembering those soldiers, remembering those battles. You know, I'm kind of one of those people that when I watch the documentaries about World War II particularly, it really goes deep inside of me. There's a song that they played a little bit ago, The Wall. How many of you ever seen The Wall in Washington, D.C.? Ever been to the Washington Monument? I've been up there one time. I was actually up there to see a customer. And these customers, you know, they know where all these fancy restaurants are. So if I tell you I've eaten somewhere, it's for work. It's not me, okay? I went to this fancy place just two blocks from the White House, and we were there, and we got done and saw the customer and tried to sell some aluminum. And then I went over and I walked to this wall, and there were a flower laying here, and there was a flower laying there. And even late at night, as big as that wall is, I could see people taking a piece of paper, and they were tracing the name of their loved one. And as I stood there in front of it, the gravity of it and the weight of it, it ought to mean something to you. It ought to mean something to you when you drive by the cemeteries and you see the headstones. As I go down the road, I'll tell you something else that ought to mean something to you. Every time I pass a church, and we were driving in this morning, we stayed over there in Alabama last night. It wasn't L.A., it was Upper Alabama. Well, we were driving back. Every time I passed a church, and there's a lot of them, I wondered, why aren't people lining up outside of them? Saying, can we get inside? Would somebody share with us the message of Jesus Christ? Can we just come in today and thank God for his blessings? Because I believe every Sunday ought to be victory in Jesus Day. Because you and I have victory in Jesus that cannot be taken away from us. When they were up here singing and practicing a little bit ago, I heard them talking about the order of the songs, and comment was made, well, the last thing we're going to do is going home. Yeah. And I thought, isn't that true? Yeah. Yeah. We're going to serve God here. We're going to be what God wants us to be here. But the last thing you're going to do as a Christian is go home. Yeah. Nobody can take that away from you. Right. And that's something that Jesus Christ went to the cross so that you and I could have that privilege and that right. Yeah. And it ought to mean everything. You know, what I want us to talk and think about for just a few minutes is I've got some things to remember. You know, I want us to remember that, yes, we are blessed. In America, we're blessed. You know, if you look at the past couple of years and you've got COVID and you've got the riots and you've got all the unrest and you've got all the things about politics that get to the point that I don't even want to hear it anymore. I don't want to talk about it anymore. I don't want to hear it anymore. I mean, it's hard to find someone that you can follow. But even when I look at it and I begin to look at what's going on around the world and I see people who say, like the people over in Ukraine, that we just absolutely have to win because we cannot go back under the oppression of a dictator that wants to be rich and wealthy and make every decision whether you go to war or not, whether you get to eat or not, whether you get to go to church or not, whether you get to own a home or not. They said, we just want to be free and live our lives. Can I tell you, in America today, we are so blessed Yet, yes, people should be lining up at the churches. You know, when you get out in the country and you see these little churches and they're still there and there's still somebody that was a member of that church when it flourished, or maybe 40 or 50 years ago. Can I tell you the times that I've driven by churches on Saturday and there would be some elderly gentleman on a lawnmower out cutting the grass, and you drive back by on Sunday and nobody's there? It is because somebody understands and loves the house of God. But the people of the world today, a lot of times, have forgotten it. You see, we're blessed. We're so blessed, and God has truly blessed America that sometimes we forget how blessed we are. And here's a reference. Many people, and I know it's not everywhere, but I want to tell you something as a general rule. People in America are so blessed that they don't know what it's like to do without. They don't know what it's like not to have. When I look at my generation and I think about my mother and dad's generation, my mother and dad got married. Young people, close your ears just a minute. They got married when they were 16 years old. My dad tells me the story when he was alive of leaving home when he was 14 years old and how that he was on his own, never even finished the eighth grade. Got married at 16, and I was born, they were 18 years old, so that's how close an age that I am to my parents. My mother used to tell me a story of living in a two-room apartment, and she had one pot that she cooked with. And now here's the problem. People can't even relate to this sometimes to the extent that it doesn't even connect. But it was reality for them. They had one pot, and she said, I would warm the potatoes and I would pour them on our plates. I would rinse the pot out and I would warm the beans or the corn or whatever it was that we had, and I would pour it on the plates. And they went from nothing by Dad working every day and being faithful and doing what he was supposed to do, which today is very difficult to get a lot of people just to be willing to accept that responsibility. My dad got saved when I was just a baby. Before I could ever remember, because I've never not remember not being in church, my dad was preaching the gospel. 25 years old. My dad was 25 years old. I had a little sister who was 3 who died of cancer. And at 25 years old, my dad lived in a house next to the church that he pastored. Now, when I think back on those things and I try to ponder it and understand it with my mind today, sometimes I don't know how they did it. Why do you say all that? I say all that to say this. In this generation today, we are so blessed that we don't really realize how blessed we are. We don't realize how good that we have it, and sometimes because we don't realize how good that we have it, our appreciation and our thankfulness is not where it ought to be. It could be appreciation and thankfulness to one another, but most importantly, to God. When's the last time that you had a complaint, but you begin to think about your blessings, and you were able to get down on your knees and say, God, I just want to thank you for what you've done in my life. Amen. God, I want to thank you for saving me. God, I want to thank you that things aren't like they could have been. You see, God has truly, truly blessed America. And me just being 18 years younger than my dad, I was talking to my brother a couple of weeks ago. And we were talking about our dad and our mother that are both gone on to be with the Lord. They've gone home. And I made mention to my brother, I said, you know, I am just 2 years younger than our dad was when he passed away. And he looked at me and he said, that puts it in perspective, doesn't it? But when I begin to think about how my dad faithfully, through all those difficult times, served God and worked, I can't help but even believe that that maybe is part of the blessing that I have to be able to stand here today. It's those that have served before you. Now, folks, I want to give you some things to remember this morning. Number one, let's remember where we came from. In the book of Genesis, chapter 1 and verse 1, the scripture says this: in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. If we could take that verse right there and get it instilled into the heart and mind of every person, and especially every young person in this nation, I believe it would make a difference. You know, today as we're here this morning having service, there are the families of about 21 people in Texas that are grieving over the loss of their child. Third grade, fourth grade, one man had been married to his wife, and she had been a school teacher for 20-something years. They had three children, and he was grieving and crying. And we hear these things, and we don't understand them. We don't understand why these things are happening. The first people want to do is they want to turn it political. You can argue all you want to, pro-gun or anti-gun. That's up to you. But when I hear it, here's what I see and I understand: that we have come to the point in America that we have told our children there is no God. Amen. We've told them that they didn't come from God, but they evolved from something that came from somewhere. And eventually here you are. We've told them that they're not children of God, but that they are animals. And then when we get to the point that they grow up and they act like animals, we act like we don't know what's going on. We live in a nation to where we believe that abortion should be fine and it's okay to abort millions of babies a year. And the same people stand with their political agendas in these things. Folks, I'm not going to get on one side or the other this morning. You're not going to know what my opinion is about some of that, but here's what my opinion is based on the Word of God. Can you imagine if you were walking down the street at night and it was dark and you had to go down an alleyway and you could see your car at the end of the alleyway, and coming towards you were three or four young men swaggering towards you, especially young ladies. You're walking that direction. Would it make any difference to you if you knew that those three or four young men had just left a Bible study, that they had studied about the grace of God, that they had studied about honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise? Would it make any difference if they believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God? The problem in America today is we have taught that life has no sanctity, and then we're amazed when people act like it doesn't have any. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 24 and 25 says this: and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, and cattle, and creeping thing, and the beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so, and God made the beast of the earth after his kind, the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God said that it was good. You see, it's amazing to me today that you can hear people, when they use the word, I'll pray for you, and they use it flippantly, but there is no relationship with God. It's almost like when it's convenient. You see, the question that we need to look at and have is, are we created by God, or did we evolve from nothing? And if God created us, then obviously, what that means is it makes us accountable to him as our Lord. You see, I believe that that is the most important thing. When we vote to take prayer out of schools, aren't we saying, God, we don't want you in the lives of our young people? We need to remember where we came from. I also think that we need to remember why that we are here on this earth. Sometimes when I look at life and I'm going through the mundane of it, when I'm sitting in traffic, my son Matthew, he's debating on whether or not to take a couple of different job offers that are offered to him, and he's got one that he's got to drive a good ways over here and another one to drive a good ways over there, and I try to tell him what it's like to sit in traffic on the top end perimeter and to do it day after day after day and week after week. And then he tells me some of the things that he's going to be doing, and I try to share with him what it's going to be like to be in that environment and what it's going to mean to go through it day after day after day. And then when we're dealing with the challenges that we have and the things that come against us, I was speaking to one of our brethren earlier today, and I said, you know, it seems like, you know, you make a list of all the things that need to be done around the house. How many of you men have that list? Or maybe I'll ask you ladies. How many of you ladies have that list for your husband? And you look at that list and you work and you clean. It's like when you get the pressure washer out and you knock off the mold and you knock off the mildew, and then you notice a rotten board and you replace that one and there's another one, and you fix this over here and that breaks over there, and you start dealing with all the things of life. What about when you start trying to serve God and you're trying to do what you think is right with God, and you think, when I start trying to serve God and do the right thing, then I'm not going to have the problems that I used to have. But every time you go to the doctor, it's something else. Every time the phone rings. And something that I know is heavy in the hearts and minds of many is, you as a Christian, you're trying to serve God and be what God wants you to be. Have you ever wondered why your kids don't? You ever wonder why I've tried and I've told them and I've done the right thing in front of them, but it seems like every time I look, there's something else going on in their life, and your heart is heavy because they are not where they're supposed to be. It's just the way that it is. Saw a sign one time, and I confirmed it in conversation with my mother, that a mother is never happier than her least happy child. And when we look at this life and all the things that we go through, whether it be work or home or the challenges of life, what I think we need to always remember and keep focused on, why we are here on this earth. Why am I here on this earth? The reason that you are here on this earth is to glorify God and in eternity enjoy Him forever. If everyone living understood that, then we would understand that all the things sometimes that come against us and the way that we look at them would be changed when we realize that this is temporal. That this is going to pass. And the things that we fix and continue to fix and the problems that we have, it might have something to do with what the Bible says about a curse that's on this earth. And the way that we live in it, in this curse, is we walk in the grace of God, because that is the curve that we need in our life that helps us be able, as we remember why we're here, to honor God in the midst of every circumstance. You ever been in a situation, whatever it may be, and wonder, how can I be here right now and honor God? I have. God, where are you? God, what are you doing in my life? And you realize, as you walk with the Lord through the midst of that storm and that difficulty, that God is actually right there with you. And as we walk through it, just a glimpse and a speck as we compare it to eternity, the most important thing to remember why we're here is to honor Him. And in the midst of your circumstance,
in, not because of, we honor God. And that's why I believe we're here on this earth. And I believe that's what we should remember as we live our lives, as we try to make sense of some of the things that we face. I also think this morning, this is very important for you and I as Christians, but it's very important if you don't know the Lord, to remember that you will die and face eternity. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 and 28, it says this, and says, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. What lies beyond the grave? You know, I mentioned a little bit ago about a conversation with my brother about my dad. My dad passed away at 58. About 6 months, I'll be 57. You know what I dream about? I dream about retiring and having all my strength, which is already depleting. My hair is already gone. Having plenty of money and not to worry about it. I said dream about, right? You know, the reality of it is sometimes we look at this life. Bible says that it's given unto man 70 years. That's 70 years. Many of you already have more than that. But if I think about my life and I look at my life, the reality of it is most of my life has already been lived. And for many of you here this morning, most of your life has already been lived. I can remember when I was about 15 years old, we lived on Hill Street in Lithia Springs. My dad and my uncle, Wayne, were out in the driveway. And then Wayne had a pickup truck, and I got up in the back of it to get something out of it, and I just slapped the side of the truck and just flew over the side and hit the concrete, and his back hurt. He looked at me and he said, there's going to come a time when you won't be able to do that. That house was a one-story house. I used to get on top of it and jump off of it. I used to go deer hunting, and if I shot a deer and I was in a hurry to get down, I'd just jump out. Because some of you young people, you can't relate to what I'm saying. You can't to relate to having a body where all your muscles work and your joints don't. You can't relate to the fact that one day you are going to get older. You're not going to be able to do the things you want to do. And you are going to begin to know that you're going to die. You see, when I look at this life and I begin to think about the blessings of God, and there are so many blessings. Sometimes because of my age, more so than ever, I'm beginning to think about what does lie beyond the grave. What has God prepared for us? Well, it's given to us in His Word. Now, we can talk about all the blessings. We can talk about all the things that God said that He's going to create for us. He's been doing that for years. He said, I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again. But do you ever think about what it's going to mean to walk with God in eternity? You see, we need to remember that we will die and we will face eternity, and that there is more in front of us. Sometimes in this life, going back to some of the things we said earlier, the stress, the challenges, whether it be in our children, in our homes, in our lives, and the things of this life. Once you were born, you're going to live forever. And sometimes what people want to do is it gets so difficult that so many people today, they just want out of it. They want out of this life, but I want you to understand something, that when you leave this life, you step into eternity. And when you step into eternity, you will step into a place where you will stand before God and God will look at you. And the question is, have we honored Him or have we not? Because eternity is in front of us, and eternity is a very long time. And for those who reject God and don't want God, and this is where we're at today, they don't believe that the problems in America and our society that are creating the problems that we have come from turning away from God. Well, I want you to understand that eternity is a very long time to be wrong. And here's what I want you to remember on Memorial Day, is remember that somebody died for you. Amen. Now, there were soldiers, but I want you to remember that Jesus died so that you can live. I've watched documentaries where they stormed the beaches of Normandy. The gates would open on those boats as they would roll into the tide and they would come up on the beaches. And as soon as the gate would fall, the machine gun fire would begin to penetrate. And a percentage of casualties as they stormed that beach were very, very high. And I saw those young men and I saw the faces and I saw the loss. Every one of them was somebody's son.
Absolutely.
It was somebody that was loved, and it was a mother that would receive a piece of paper from someone that would drive up to the door. And as a pastor, I just tell you, all I would want to do, although I'm not a coward at all, how do you help those people? But all those that died, as many of them as they were, and as many of them as are dying now for their freedom, I want you to understand that not one of them died for you and your eternal life. They died for you to be able to have a privilege to worship and to be free and have the things that you have. Again, don't give your freedoms away. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross, He died for you in your place.
Yes.
Because a sentence had been given. But He said, I will take their place so that they can live eternally. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I declared unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. You know, we need to remember that Jesus died for you and He died for me. In Romans chapter 5, verse 7 and 8, the scripture says this, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, the gospel message is still the same today as it's always been. The scripture that I just read to you was penned, believed to be by Paul, in A.D. 59. It's almost 2,000 years ago. And it's still the same message today. You see, Jesus died so that you may live. He was crucified wrongly so that you could be forgiven. And He suffered so that you could have mercy. John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see, the conclusion, and I believe the most important thing, is have you accepted the Creator, Jesus our Lord, as Savior in your life? Do you know Jesus? Or are you like some today, they think they can educate and they can train and they can come up with some substitute for man that will cause him to be able to be sufficient on his own without God? And I just don't think that's going to happen. I'm going to ask you to rise to your feet. We're going to give a public invitation. I'm going to ask you, if you would, just to bow your heads for just a minute. We're not going to be late today. But if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, can I please reiterate that the most important thing you'll ever do in your life is accept Him. Sometimes we get in places that we need those that are closest to us. Bible says in one place that we should choose a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I've told my sons and I've told my daughter, you can marry the one that you love. You can make your own life. But if you ever get in a point that you need us, guess who's always going to be here? Mom and Dad are still going to be here. But the reality of that is there may come a time in their life that mom and dad will be gone. But can I tell you that God never leaves? Amen. He's never gone so far that He cannot hear you. He never leaves. You know, if you want to accept the Lord as your Savior, we're going to have a song in just a minute, but here's a prayer. You could just say, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I accept you as the Creator and Lord of my life. And Lord, I know that if I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth, I will be saved. Lord, I accept that Jesus Christ died for my sins, and I thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name.